verse number 49. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أُذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتَنِّي أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. We discussed a little bit about this verse before we break for the holidays. Just one sentence from this verse remained to be discussed. The verse says, among them there are some who say, give me leave and do not put me to temptation. Look, they have already fallen into temptation. And indeed hell besieges the faithless. This one last sentence was left to be discussed. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. The hell besieges the faithless. Of course, if you look into different tafasir, for example, in Majmu'ul Bayan, it says it means in future, the hell will besieges the faithless. However, the sentence in the Quran, the verse itself, would say that it is now, in actuality, it is besieging them. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Well, first of all, the person who mentioned the issue that do not put me into temptation or into severe test or into calamities, whatever the fitna might mean here, is telling that in future I'm going to be in a fitna if you order me decisively that I have to come with you. So do not put me into that test. Now, fitna here, according to the last sentence, is used as calamity or hardship. And it means that he is already in hardship. The Jahannam is actually besieging, is encompassing the kafir. Now this gives a very insightful concept of the Quran about the actuality of the hell and the paradise at this moment. If you look in different theological books about whether the hell or paradise are already created or they are going to be created, there are lots of controversies that whether they are there now or they will be created in future. There's always this question that when Prophet, peace be on him, went to Mi'raj, he saw things which happened or will happen or has happened in paradise or in hell. And therefore, again, the issue comes, is the hell and paradise already there, or they are going to be created later on? They are going to be opened, at least, later on, and people are going to be put there, or not. Now, this verse, of course, mentions, if you want to take it literally, that at this moment of time, Jahannam is besieging, the hell is besieging the people, the kafirin, of course. And, well, by conclusion, we can conclude that the paradise as well is besieging the mu'minun at this very moment. The late Allama Tabatabai has a fundamental discussion about this issue, which is, of course, very much favored by those exegetes who have some sort of mystical inclination. And that is the idea that the punishment or reward doesn't come as a conventional issue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. It is actually the very action which will be returned to the person. And that action is in itself the reward or the punishment. There is nothing that Allah would conventionally do about what we have done. It is only the action which is given back to us. And jaza am bima kanu ya'malun is just what they had done, or bima kanu yaksabun, what they had achieved. It is exactly the same thing. إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ تُرَدُّ إِلَيْكُمْ, as we have in a hadith. It is but your actions which have come back to you. Now, those actions which have been committed already, They are with us. They haven't gone anywhere. And if those actions are beseeching us when we are in this life, and they are beseeching us, they are beseeching our hearts, they are encompassing our hearts, they are enveloping our hearts. If this is the case, it means that the Jahannam is already there, or the paradise is already there. However, we haven't come to the realization of this in Nash'atul Ukhra, in the other world. This is going to become in a different shape, in a different type of creation later on. It is Jahannam now. Our actions are a Jahannam beseeching us, or are a paradise encompassing us. However, we do not realize the otherworldly nature of these actions. If we know the otherworldly nature of these actions, we see the hell and the paradise. And that's why the Prophet could see the hell and people in the hell, in the paradise. Not in the sense that hell and paradise is already established and people are there. He could see the otherworldly side of the actions beseeching the people. And if we look into some verses of the Quran, for example, about Jahannam, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعْرَتْ, when the hell is put on fire. It means the hell is already there. It's not put on fire. What it means, it is not put on fire, it means the actions have not gone into that world yet, has not upgraded to their otherworldly nature. When they go closer and closer to Allah, the action finds different types of shapes and forms. And for example, in Alamul Barzakh, an action might have a shape and a form, and that is beseeching us now. But when we go to Barzakh, that action in that form will be with us for the time we are in Barzakh. And then when the day of resurrection comes, it takes the other shape, which is more suitable to that world. And when the Jahannam and hell are going to be filled with people, then they find the way, the shape, the form which is suitable for hell and for paradise. So it's always our actions with which we are living, and they are encompassing us. So here when he says, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحَيْتَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ, the hell is actually now beseeching the people, but it is not set on fire yet. It is set on fire when you go to that resurrection world. And when you go there, when you go to closer and closer vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find these actions would find very different, amazing shapes which are beseeching people. And for example, we have وَإِذَا, as I said, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعْرَتْ, when the hell is set on fire. It is there, it's not set on fire. وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ, when the paradise is brought near. It is there, it's not brought near. In fact, when you go close to it, your actions find different shapes. And this is what is technically called تَجَسُّمُ الْعَمَلِ, the incarnation or the materialization of action in its true shape and body. And in fact, there is no punishment, no reward, but the action وَأَلَّيْسَ للإنسان إلا ما سعى, there is nothing for human being but what they do. And this سعي, which is mentioned in the Quran, is the idea of that the struggle that you make in this world makes your future, and whatever you have in future is the outcome of this struggle and achievement that you make. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. However, you don't see this now. You don't see your actions. You think that you have done it, it's finished now, they have gone away, but they haven't gone away. It's with us. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى, and your actions will soon be seen. It will be seen in their proper shape, which is would be suitable to the type of world in which you are, whether in this world or in Barzakh or in Qiyamah, you will see it in that specific form of it. ثُمَّ يُجْزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى, and then the complete suitable reward will be given to you, and that reward is the action in itself. Of course, for the people of the hell, but for the people of the paradise, of course, there are more than the action in itself, because then they are connected to the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more will come. So, among them, there are some who say, give me leave and do not put me to temptation. Look, they have already fallen into fitna. Of course, here the temptation is used in this translation. There are two other possible translations which is given in the footnotes. And one is, do not push me into sinfulness. Look, they have already fallen into sinfulness. Or, do not put me in a predicament. And look, they have already fallen into predicament. And this last meaning, predicament, is more suitable to the final sentence of the verse, وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. It means their predicament has already besieged them and has already made them into a difficult position. Okay, again, talking about the attitude of munafiqun here. إِن تُصِبْكَ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ وَإِن تُصِبْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ يَقُولُ قَدْ أَخَذْنَا أَمْرَنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَيَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ فَرِحُونَ قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. If some good should befall you, it upsets them. But if any adversity befalls you, they say, we have already taken our precaution in advance. And they go away exulting, rejoicing. Say, nothing will befall us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our master. And in Allah let all the faithful put their trust. There is a story about this first verse here, verse number 50, if some good should befall you, it upsets them. The story says that at one juncture of time when Prophet was away from Medina to Tabuk, the news came that the Prophet had a combat, and he and all his companions were killed. And this news, of course, it was a rumor coming to somehow upset the balance of power in Medina, because Amirul Mu'mineen was now in power and Munafiqun all were left in Medina, so they just wanted to upset the balance of power in Medina. They actually created the rumor that Prophet was killed and all his companions with him. So this made the people, the Munafiqun, very happy. So, إِن تُصِبْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ يَقُولُ قَدْ أَخَذْنَا أَمْرَنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. If an adversity befalls you, they say, apparently this is what they had said, that, well, we had our precaution already, and we didn't go with the Prophet, that was good, and that made them very happy. However, then the news came that it was a rumor. Prophet was alive, and everyone was safe. So, this actually made them again very upset and sad. This is the story which puts this concept of this verse into its actual instance. If some good should befall you, it would upset them. But if an adversity befalls you, they say, we had already taken our precaution in advance. Now, of course, they were very happy, and they go away rejoicing of the calamity which has befallen you. But it is mentioned in a very general way. Not in only in this situation, when the news of the death of the Prophet came. However, in every situation, they say that we are you, they say that we are Muslims, but you look into their heart, you will see that they are not with you. The calamities coming on you would make them happy, the good coming on you would make them sad. And this is the sign of them not being with you. And even if we ourselves want to really judge ourselves and our hearts, whether we like someone or not, whether we feel attachment to someone or not, we could see it when something good comes to them or when something evil comes to them. How is the situation of our heart? Whether it is satisfied, content with it, or whether it is otherwise. Now, the answer, which of course Allah is giving to the Prophet to announce, is that say nothing will befall us except what Allah has ordained for us. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. He is our Mawla, our Master. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And in Allah let all the faithful put their trust. Now, this answer, of course, has caused more problem than solving a problem. And this brings the issue of predestination. Well, caused problems for us rather than for the Prophet who actually mentioned this to them. And because it says nothing will befall us except what Allah has written for us, has ordained for us. And this is somehow the idea of predestination, which is very difficult to understand. And it is confusing because we have other accounts of our actions or what happens to us, which tell us it is due to what we do or what we decide, not due to what Allah writes. And I think one of the most difficult issues for human mind to understand, for religious mind first of all to understand, and for human mind in general to understand with relation to God, is this concept of what is the input of God in our life and what is our own input. So whether things are predestined or whether they are relying on our decisions. And this is something which in some ahadith, for example, people when they asked about this predestination, qada and qadar, they were told that do not delve into this because this is a very deep ocean of turbulent water. You cannot come out of it safely. And that means your mind cannot really analyze this relationship between human decision and Allah's decision. And in the Quran, we have, of course, different verses which gives us different accounts of it. In some verses, we are told that it is due to your own actions. In some other verses, we are told that whatever happens is due to Allah's will. In some verses, we have that you decide. This is your Mashiach. And in other verses, we are told, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You cannot decide unless Allah decides it before you. And if Allah decides it before us, then what is the role of our own decision here? And how we can cope between these two conflicting issues? It is conflicting, it is confusing, because the whole issue is very difficult to understand. The relation, because the God, as we know, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is going to happen out of His will and outside His will. Nothing is going to happen outside His will. And anything we do, He has to, first of all, decide it. And then we are given the green light to go ahead with it or decide it later on. And that is predestination in itself. And on the other hand, if this is the case, why some people go to hell, why some people go to paradise? Why there is a reward if everything is predestined? If someone is kafir because Allah has decided him to be a kafir, then why they should go to hell? And if someone goes to paradise because they are good people and Allah has decided that they should go they should be good people, then what's the point? Then all these are actually aggravated the situation of this decision about whether there is a predecision of God for whatever we do or not, is aggravated by some more confusing ahadith traditions. As-sa'idu sa'idun fi batn ummih, wa-shaqiyu shaqiyun fi batn ummih. Whoever is felicitous on the day of judgment, they have been felicitous, they have been written felicitous when they were in their womb, the womb of their mothers. And the otherwise, the miserables on the day of judgment had been, before they coming to this world, they had been like that. Or these traditions about the tina, the clay with which the people were created. And we have that the mu'minun were created from a different clay than the kafirun. It means they had different type of creation. And that's why they are mu'min and kafirun from a They had different type of creation. That's why they are kafir. And all of it are right. And our decision is right as well. That nothing would go without Allah making a decision before that is right as well. The shortcoming here is that our mind cannot analyze it. It is conflicting in a sense. Now, trying to find an answer from the verses of the Quran is not that difficult, but we have to have a type of insight into how Allah makes decisions for us and how it does not affect our decision making, which would somehow gives ground for reward and punishment. Now, before this, I want to mention, before going to the verses of the Quran, I want to mention something from Nahjul Balagha. And you will see that right from the beginning, it was a confusing issue. People were asking the Prophet and A'imma alayhimu salam that, well, are what we're doing due to Allah's predestination or it is due to our own decisions? Now, in the battle of Safin, of course, it was a very difficult time. People were asking why this has happened, why Muslims are fighting against each other. Is this the will of God really? Is this the outcome of our wrong decisions? So there was that psychological predicament which was befalling on everyone. So someone came to Amirul Mu'mineen and asked him that we have come all this long way towards Sham to fight these people. Now, has this been the predestination of God that we should have done it? Or we came with our own decision? Is it us who have made this decision or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have made this decision? Of course, then the whole hadith is not mentioned here. What Amirul Mu'mineen said, it's all Allah's will. It's not our will. Whatever happens in this world is due to what he wants, what he decrees. And then the man said, well, I seek refuge to Allah because then there is no reward to this. If he has decided it, I have taken all these difficulties, all these mental, psychological, spiritual, physical hardships, coming here and you say it's Allah's will, and so what's the point? What's the point of making all these efforts? Then Amirul Mu'mineen mentioned something which is, of course, reported here. The question was, أَكَانَ مَسِيرُنَا إِلَى الشَّامِ بِقَضَاءٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرٍ. Is all this way we have come due to qada and qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And then after the Shami, this man said to, told Amirul Mu'mineen that, okay, if it was the decree of God, it's pointless. Amirul Mu'mineen says, wayahak, woe to you, la'allaka dhananta qada'an laziman wa qadaran khatima. Maybe you are thinking, he said, first of all, this is a wrong conclusion you are making. Maybe you are thinking that this is a decisive decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that no, this was not a decisive decree. There are two levels of decree that Allah would make. One is the decisive, in which there is no change. The other one is a decree which undergoes lots of changes. وَقَدَرًا حَاتِمًا, and a certain qadar measurement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has gone beforehand, and there is no return from it. There is no escape from it. He says, no, this is not like that. When I say it is due to qada and qadar of Allah, I don't say qada and laziman wa qadar and hatiman. I don't say a certain measurement and an irreversible, a decisive type of decree. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَٰلِكَ كَذَٰلِكَ. If it was the case, if it was a decisive decree before we decided about it, if it was a certain measurement, if it was like that, لَبَطَلَ الثَّوَابُ وَالْعِقَابُ, then there was the punishment and the reward which Allah has promised would have gone vain. وَسَقَطَ الْوَعْدُ وَالْوَعِيدُ And all these promises and threatenings of Allah in the Quran would have been, we should drop it because there's no point in it. And then he explains that إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ أَمَرَ عِبَادَهُ تَخْيِيرًا وَنَهَاهُمْ تَحْذِيرًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered his slaves, his creatures, out of free will. تَخْيِيرًا means they have free will. And that's why he has ordered them. And he has somehow ordered them not to do things, to threaten them. And if they didn't have any free will, how could he threaten them for it? وَكَلَّفَ يَسِيرًا وَلَمْ يُكَلِّفْ أَسِيرًا And of course, what he has told us is very little, and he has not put any burden, any difficult burden on us. And then he says, وَلَمْ يُرْسَلِ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَعِبًا He hasn't sent the prophets for a play or for entertainment. Because really, if this was the case, if everything was predestined, then coming of the Prophet would have been a luxury, isn't it? An entertainment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look and watch and laugh at us. It's, some people say things that he has already wanted to say. Some people become kafir that he had already decided that they have to become kafir. And vice versa. So it would have been really an entertainment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يُنزِلِ الْكُتُبَ لِلْعِبَادِ عَبَثًا And of course, he hasn't sent down the books to the people as a void thing, as a void issue. وَلَا خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا And he has not created the heavens and the earth in a batil way, in a way in which there is no reality, no truth, no objective. ذَلِكَ Then he mentions a verse from the Quran. ذَلِكَ ذَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ This is the conjecture of those who are kafirs, and of course, they have a hard time in hell. So it means anyone thinking like that, and this is very interesting, because many Muslims think like this, isn't it? That there is predestination for everything. And Amirul Mu'minin says this is the conjecture of the kuffar. And it's interesting that sometimes the Muslims believe in issues which are described as kufr. And one of the things that Amirul Mu'minin says is kufr, is this idea of believing in predestination. And why it is tantamount to kufr. If a Muslim really, if a religious person believes in predestination, it is tantamount to kufr. Why? Because it would make the whole idea of prophets coming, warning people, giving good tidings to people, bashiran wa nadhiran, then that's all void. And if this is void, it means that you are kafir to all these process and to all these establishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for prophets coming, warning, promising, and all these issues. They all would be void. And then it is kufr again, because then you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a being which likes entertainment, doing void things. And I mean, believing in the idea of predestination would entail all these issues, which are not acceptable by any religious criterion or by any rational criterion. It's not acceptable at all. Now, if this is the case, if this is tantamount to kufr, then what is this response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually telling the Prophet to tell the kuffar? قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا Say, nothing will befall us except what Allah has ordained for us, has written for us. Is this not predestination? Now, some people, to avoid the idea of predestination, they somehow limited the domain of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his decision making. And they said, is the Qadariya or Mu'tazila, they said that, okay, whatever we do is due to us. We have the power over it, and it is only us who decide about it. Allah has nothing to do in this domain. Now, this is again kufr as well. I mean, you see, this is a very narrow type of a very sharp-edged issue. If, on the one hand, you may fall into the side of limiting the domain of the power and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, well, once He has created us, then He has no power over us. And He has no power over what we want to do, what we will, and what we wish. And on the other side, you might fall into the area of kufr again, in the sense that saying that, okay, whatever we do is already predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who decides about everything. And again, this is not acceptable. Now, the verses of the Quran coming here would attack both sides, of course. And it is something that very difficult for us to understand. How is it possible that He decides first and then we decide? After He has given leave, we can decide. And the other issue that we are not predestined to decide whatever we decide and to do whatever we do. And the verses of the Quran, sometimes it seems confusing because it wants to somehow clear the mind of the believers from both these kufr type of concepts which are tantamount to kufr, which would entail kufr and denying the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or denying His wisdom. On the one side, we deny His wisdom if we think that everything is predestined and we have no right or no free will in whatever we do. This is to deny the wisdom of Allah. And if we say no, things are out of His hand, is in our hand, then it's the denial of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both of them would be tantamount to kufr. Now, let's look at one verse or two verses in Surah An-Nisa. And these two verses are very interesting because it mentions both aspects of this issue. Verses number 78 and 79 in Surah Nisa. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرَكْكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَ. Wherever you may be, death shall overtake you, even if you were in fortified towers. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Of course, this is talking about the believers, not about kuffar. Okay. If any good befalls them, they say, this is from Allah. And when an ill befalls them, they say, this is from you. They were objecting the Prophet and his decisions, peace be on him, that why did you make this decision? You brought us to this war. Many of our brethren were killed. And they don't say that this is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say this is due to you. But if something good comes, if you make a decision, they win in a war, they say, subhanallah, this is due to Allah. Whatever comes is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. If any good befalls them, they say, this is from Allah. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. When an ill befalls them, they say, this is from you. قُلْ كُلٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Okay. This is a decisive type of a statement. Say, all is from Allah. Good coming to you, evil coming to you, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, of course, this is something which is addressed to us as well. فَمَا لِهَٰؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. What is the matter with these people that they would not understand any matter? Well, we do not understand this issue as well as we have to understand it. Now, look at the following verse. This is somehow, in a sense, denying what was stated in the previous verse. Now, in the previous verse, it said, if it is hasana or if it is sayya, it all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this verse, He says, "Ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah." Whatever good befalls you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Wama asabaka min sayyi'atin fa min nafsik." And whatever ill befalls you is from yourself. "Wa arsalnaka lil nas rasulan wa kafa billahi shahida." And we sent you as an apostle to mankind, and Allah suffices as a witness. Now it is confusing, isn't it? In the previous verse it says that whatever comes, hasana or sayya, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this verse it says, no, whatever hasana comes is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever sayya comes is from yourself. So again, it doesn't leave us anywhere near the understanding of this issue of predestination. And the reason is that it is so complicated to realize how these two are related. How could we follow a path in which neither the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is denied, nor the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is denied. Both of them are retained, and we retain our free will, and we retain, of course, the capacity, entitlement to have reward of Jannah or punishment of hell out of our own free will. There is still another verse in Surah Hadid. If you have the Quran, you can refer to that. A very famous verse, of course, in Surah Hadid. Surah number 57. It's verse number 22. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. No affliction visits the earth or yourselves. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم. Or it means visits around you, other people, or in your vicinity. But it is in a book before we bring it about. It means before we bring it out to creation. نبرأها. برأة means brought it out to creation. Before we bring it out into creation, it is already written in a book for you. So no calamity would ever befall, no affliction will be there, but it is already written for you. It means that you have no influence over it. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That is indeed easy for Allah. Of course, it's easy for Allah to do it, but it's difficult for us to understand, isn't it? لَكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَعْتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. So that you may not grieve for what escapes you, nor rejoice for what comes your way. It means whatever we give you, do not be very happy about it. Do not say, oh, I did it. If I had I not done this, I wouldn't have attained this world or that issue or whatever. Now don't be so over happy. Do not over rejoice about these things, because this is already written for you. And if affliction comes, do not go grieving and thinking this is the end of the world, because that was already written for you. So this is the case, so that you may not grieve for what escapes you, nor rejoice for what comes your way. And Allah does not like any swaggering braggart. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Are these verses, have they solved any issue? Probably they have confused us more. Now, there is another verse in Surah Shura, Surah number 42. Verse number 30, it says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever affliction that may visit you is because of what your hands have earned. And though he excuses many an offense, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. It means that whatever affliction comes to you is because of what you have done. However, it's not all that you have done. Allah would forgive, would somehow compensate for many things that you do. And he would stop the afflictions to come to you which are due to your actions. But still, many of the afflictions are due to your own actions. Now, here, if we go back to this Surah Nisa, of course, whatever comes to you is from Allah, whether it's hasana or sayya, it means it is in his hand. And he will bring it about. Whether good or evil, قُلْ كُلُّم مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this verse is very enlightening in the sense that it puts us in a more elaborate and detailed picture of the issue. First of all, whatever comes from Allah is due to what you have done. Sorry, is whatever comes to you, whether evil or good, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not out of his hand. It is only he who decides who should be afflicted with calamity and who should be given grace and happiness in this world. However, you do not deserve, you human beings do not deserve anything. Do not deserve any good. Because if Allah wants really to put you in on spots, if he wants to judge you, he would have destroyed all of you. وَلَوْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ذَهْرَهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah really wanted to take people into his courts now, he wouldn't have left even one living human on this earth. Everyone should have been perished. However, of course, he doesn't do that. He gives grace, still his mercy flows. So whatever good comes to you is from Allah. It's not from your own soul. It's not from what you have achieved. You do good things, but that good thing again is mixed with bad things. This Dua Arafah of Imam Hussein, the attachment to the Dua Arafah, some people deny whether this is a part of Dua Arafah or not. It says, إِلَهِ مَنْ كَانَ مَحَاسَنُهُ مَسَاوِي فَكَيْفَ لَا يَكُونُ مَسَاوِيهِ مَسَاوِي. Oh God, a person whose good actions, whose mahasan, whose beauties are in itself evil when compared to your position, how should his evils not be evil? It means even the good things we do, if you are really sitting in the position of God, you see that it is evil. What are the good things we do? We pray, we do salat. Now, is this a good thing we are doing or a bad thing we are doing? It's a good thing. Of course, we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just think what we do when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so rude, so impolite, so ignorant, that if really Allah wants to take us to task for the salat that we do before him, I mean, if someone comes here, for example, if you have asked someone to come and visit you, and he comes and visits you because you have asked him, because you have ordered him, but he makes all types of funny type of behavior in front of you. Okay, is it good or bad? Well, it's good because he has come anyhow. You have ordered him, he has come. But what a hell he made before you when he came to you, when he visited you. So this is why some people say, the first thing that you want to do, if you want to go to Allah, make istighfar about the salat that you have made. Isn't it? So even the good thing that we do, we do not really deserve a reward for it. Okay, you give money to the poor. But you analyze your mind and you see how much of this is really sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much of it is because Well, because we are greedy, we want more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or many, many other, even if we don't want to do riya. There are many other issues which are involved. And still, if you go higher and higher, that's why you see the prophets, the saints, the Siddiqun, the A'imma, they never saw that they deserved anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever good comes from Allah to you, is whatever good you receive in this world is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not because of you. It's not because you deserve it. Okay, Allah says you deserve it out of His mercy, out of His magnanimity. He says, this is jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. This is a reward for what they did. Because He's so magnanimous. He's so generous that He ignores all these vile issues that we make when we are obeying Him, even when we are obeying Him. So, the truth of the matter is that whatever good comes to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, what about the evils? Now, whatever wama asabaka min sayyi'atin famin nafsik, whatever evil comes to you is from your own self. Why? Because you make so many, you do so many things that you attract the punishment for it due to the justice system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He has to keep the balance in this world. And a bad action would actually would entail a reaction to it. That's the balance that Allah should keep in this world. So whatever evil comes to you is from your own self. Whatever good comes to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, that evil which comes to you, do you really create it? Do you make it? Have you made that system of justice? Do you create a reaction for it? No. It's Allah, isn't it? So still it's from Allah, and it's from you. And the verse is putting us exactly in the picture. That they say, if any good befalls them, they say, this is from Allah. And when an ill befalls them, they say, this is from you. Say no, all is from Allah. Evil or good is from Allah. Then, of course, he explains it further. That good comes to you because of the grace of Allah. And evil comes to you because of what you have done. Now, even what you have done, you don't create it. It's all the power of Allah there. So nothing would happen in this world except with the power of Allah, with the will of Allah. However, He has willed that the bad action should attract an evil reaction to balance the thing. So it all comes from Allah, and it's still with our free will that we do it. And this complicated type of issue that we have to analyze in our minds, of course, it's very difficult. That's why, as I said, many religious people believe in predestination because they believe in the power of God, but then they ignore the wisdom of God there. And the verse in Surah Shura, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That is a categorical statement. Whatever evil comes to you is because of what you have done. It means that evil never comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It always comes from you. But of course, He has put that balance there. And the only thing that we have to analyze, inshallah, next week, is the very difficult verse of Surah Hadid. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا. Nothing, no affliction would befall you on the earth or in yourselves except that it is already written in a book. This is now needs some further analyzation, but I'm sure, I mean, the Quran, when we put all these verses together, it gives us a very clear picture of this. It's neither predestination nor a limitation of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither denying the power nor denying the wisdom of Allah. And of course, you keep your free will and Allah keeps His power after we analyze all these verses of the Quran. Inshallah, next we will continue with this. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Okay, Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad salawat. Can you have some question answers? brothers or sisters? Yeah, can you take the mic? Yeah, Muhammad.
Sheikh, what about the afflictions that overcame the Aimat Tahirin? And surely they cannot be attributed to any of their actions.
Well, it's due to our actions. I mean, we are living collectively in a society. So many of the afflictions going to good people are because of the bad people. Yeah.
Yes, Bismillah.
In Surah Baqarah, it says, and were it not for Allah's repelling some men with others, the earth would certainly be in a state of disorder. Mm-hmm. But Allah is gracious to the creatures. So Allah causes the wars to happen?
No,
is this the affliction?
He doesn't cause the wars. He has ordered us, He has ordered human beings that they have to defend the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, He has made it a human issue rather than Him deciding how things about religion should go ahead. He has left it into the human beings to fight for it, to defend it. And that's why Allah says, I have always have some people, some believers on the earth that are fighting for this cause. And if it was not the case, if there were not those people who have fought and stood for the cause of religion, then of course everything would have been destroyed in religious terms. It's actually commending the decision of those people who try to stand for the cause of religion.
Brothers or sister, do you have any further? Do you want to add something further? Yes, okay. Manjur?
You know, you were explaining living with your actions encompassing you, the hell or the heaven. The actions are living with you, and we don't realize that we are living in that, encompassed by our actions. I just want to understand, and I don't know if this is something which can explain to understand, and the understanding is correct. If we take any action in the state of anger, we don't realize what we are doing. But the result of that action is with us. And when we calm down, we understand what we have done and the result of our actions. Is this something to explain that this is how it encompasses us, but we don't realize it? And when we are in a state of understanding, rationalizing it, then we understand it. In the same way, when we go to the other state in Barzakh and in Qiyamah, whatever, then we will realize it. Is this the right understanding that this is how we will understand it at a higher level?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. But it's even deeper than that. Because we really see the materialization of action in its different form, which is always around us. Now, even if we have a vile thought in our mind, it might not leave us easily. I mean, if our type of imagination and thought has become affected with vile type of thinking, it's always with us, and it pollutes our mind, our thought. We cannot think about God, we cannot think about spirituality, because these vile issues are always around us. Sometimes, for example, people cannot think about good issues because they're always engaged with thinking about business and money and all these issues. It's always with them. Now, this, of course, this is what we realize in this world, but they have a different type of manifestation in the other world, in Barzakh. In Surah Isra, there's a very interesting verse about this. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُرًا. For every human being, we have put his book on his neck. It means it is with us. The book which we are going to read on the day of judgment about ourselves is now in our neck. But on the day of judgment, we open it for them. And we say, اقرأ كتابك. Read, this is you. This is your book. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You yourself would judge yourself on this day. No one else is needed here to judge you. And لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You were ignorant of this. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. Now we have taken the veil from before your eyes. وَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Your eyes are now sharp. You can see it. In fact, Allah would put another type of glasses on our eyes on that day. And in the light of that, we would see our actions in a different way, which are very, very live, very much living with us. And that would, of course, bring the realization of that and being encompassed with the actions. But, of course, it's difficult for us now to understand it. We are just given hints about it. But on that day, people would realize all these ahadiths given that you will live with your actions forever. The only thing which come into your grave with you are your actions, nothing else you can take with you. These actions are not just conceptual, imagined issues. They will become real when we go to grave and Alamul Barzakh.
Do you want to add something to it? Sisters? Sheikh, when you started with the lecture, we started with the discussion that Allah says, everything good is from me and everything bad is from me. Now, because these sound very contradictory to each other, why does Allah want to make so complicated in the Quran? Is that, why didn't He say that everything, and then also further it says that everything good is from me and everything bad is from you. So why does He make it so complicated and just say that, everything good is from me and everything bad is from you? Why does He want to make the issue so
complicated? Well, He has said this, but it's not as easy as that. Well, because it's very difficult concept. You see, it's just like saying, why, for example, these scientists make this world so complicated? It's very straightforward. We see things because it is complicated and because it needs very deep analyzation. And this concept of predestination or free will, it needs very deep analyzation. It is the case, yes, if you look at it from different aspects, both the statements are right. From one aspect, everything evil coming is from us, everything good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you look at it from another angle, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the verse is telling us. Everything is from Him, in the sense that the evil reactions coming to you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is from you as well, because it's a reaction of your actions. In fact, it is He who decides. And still, it is you who decide. So, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You cannot decide unless He decides. But it doesn't deny our decision. The fact that He decides before us doesn't deny our decision as well. So, inshallah, next week when we go to that verse of Surah Hadid, we will elaborate on this a bit further.
Okay, well, I had a second part to this question as well. You see, Qaza and Qadr, that you explained that there are two levels of decision. One is a fixed one is a changing one. Now, that explanation of the changing one is left to us in Nahjul Balagha. Is there a verse in that context in the Quran also of that there is a fixed decision and there is a changing decision that it depends on us how that variation in decision is sort of...
When we discuss that verse of Surah Hadid next week, inshallah, we'll discuss that.
Just one question. You said that whatever we do, it'll be in our book, and we'll be able to see on the day of Qiyamah. Now, for any reason, if those bad actions have been, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives those, either because of intercession or anything, will the person be able to see those actions which have been forgiven?
No, they are not there anymore. If He forgives, they're not there anymore.
Any sisters before we come to Zuhair? Sisters? No? Zuhair.
You've mentioned this several times as well before, and the mystics take this view that whatever we do is never good enough because of the actions that we do are never good enough for God, if you like, and it is only out of His grace that we will be rewarded. isn't this that basically then God has given us an obligation which we can never fulfill, and it's an impossible obligation upon us, rather than giving us something we would be able or capable of doing it. I mean, even if the prophets and the imams are considering themselves as not worthy of going into heaven, and it's only with the grace of Allah that they are going to heaven and hell, then what chance do we have?
We have the chance of grace of Allah as well.
Sure, but I mean, the point then is that why give us an obligation which is impossible to fulfill?
No, actually this is the obligation He wants from us. And He wants us to purify more and more, as much as we can. The obligation is, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ or وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Fear God the way He deserves to be feared. And of course, you do it only according to your capability. I mean, these two verses, when you put it together, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, fear Him the way He deserves to be feared. And وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ means, of course, in your capacity. Because no one can fear Him the way He deserves it. But you, according to your capacity, you do it. And if you do it according to your capacity, it means that you have to purify further and further and further. However, you shouldn't think that this would bring you something that you deserve, reward from Allah. The reward is just grace. But He gives it to you if you fulfill this. In fact, the obligation is not more than what we can do. The obligation is according to our capacity. But He gives you more than what you deserve for this. And the concept is very beautiful. And that is really, really whatever you do. There is only one God in this world. There is nothing else. You should deny yourself. I mean, the concept of mystics is this, isn't it? The moment you bring yourself in and you say, yes, I deserve it, you don't deserve it. But the moment you say, it is not me, it is Him who is doing all this, then you deserve plenty. And although your soul is not capable of fearing God or having the taqwa the way He deserves it, but He will give you the reward as if you have done it. And this is, of course, a great grace. And this is not obligation more than what we can do.
Do you want to add something? No. Sisters? Brothers? Any brother?